Good morning. My name is James Davenport. I'm here today to talk about the Amazonia Project and the potential for big data to aid in the cultural and ecological preservation of the Amazon. And so we've been working on the Amazonia Project in sort of two initiatives. The first is called the Amazonia Archive, which is a universal sort of encyclopedic archive of the Amazon, of its history. And then finally, the second part is the Selva Nueva or New Forest Project. And we believe that this is that these projects are contributing to solving two problems. The first is that there's a general lack of historical knowledge about the Amazon and also a lack of institutional spaces and archives where the history of the Amazon can be accessed both by public and by scholars. And the second problem, which we believe is related, is the intense ecological and cultural devastation that is occurring in the Amazon today, which is the result of harmful extractive practices such as monocropping, clear-cutting forests, and mining. So who are we? We're located on campus here at UCSD, housed in the Center of Iberian and Latin American Studies. We're also working with CALICT2, and are truly an interdisciplinary project working with scholars across the humanities, social sciences, and sciences. And then finally, we're also working with CALICT2's partner SciArc in terms of 3D scanning, which I'll return to in a second, and also partners in countries in the Amazon and within the Amazon itself, local groups, for instance. And so one of the sort of basic issues that we were dealing with is actually where is the space that we're talking about. And so for much of the Amazon's history, the main course of the river was seen as sort of the true Amazon. But as more and more information has been gathered over the years, this has sort of been enlarged conceptually, at least in the U.S., to kind of include the Amazon basin. But this actually changes over time, and human agency actually plays a role. So you can kind of see, for instance, where the green stops and then there's sort of that brownish red that goes all the way to the coast, that area would have been forested before the arrival of Europeans, and that whole area has essentially been deforested. But we're actually advocating for even a larger definition, which we're calling Amazonia, which includes the entire continental network of waterways and the relationship between those and broader continental climate patterns. So we're really talking about kind of enlarging the Amazonian space. Right, and this also goes with culture. And so in the pre-Columbian period, based on material culture, language, trading, etc., the Amazon would have extended all the way from the Rio de la Plata in Argentina up through the basin into the West Indies and even into Florida. And so part of what we're trying to combat is this pristine myth, the notion that the Amazon was a pristine wilderness untouched by humans and therefore is a land without history. And both archaeology and the archival work we're doing is showing that this simply isn't the case in much of the Amazon. And so the Amazonian Archive, as I said, was a universal archive, and so I'll start with text, just kind of talking about what we're doing there. Now, you can see on the left, one of the reasons that sort of digitizing text is so important because they're really at risk for decay, and once they're gone, we can never get that information back. So we're looking to use big data to preserve these texts and also to transcribe and translate them so that they can be more widely spread both with scholars and the public. And we're also looking to bring in crowdsourcing as much as possible. And we're also finding out in doing this project that the Amazon is far more connected. So you can see on the right, for instance, this was a German text, and Germany would have been part of the same network during the colonial period as they were part of the same empire for a while. So the Amazon was not this sort of disconnected place, but rather actually quite internationally connected to what was going on in the rest of the world. And so we're also working with maps, and here you can see this is the scientific expeditions throughout the long 19th century in the Amazon. And this sort of visually demonstrates the colonization of knowledge in the time period, but also kind of nicely shows that progression from really the notion of the Amazon as the river into that continental system that we're talking about. But we're also using maps, plugging them in with GIS and georeferencing information in order to sort of find the Amazon as sort of snapshots through time. So for instance, this demonstrates ethnolinguistic groups before the arrival of Europeans. And by looking at these and putting them on timelines, you can actually see the movements of peoples, goods, and ideas over time. We're also going through the colonial period. And so for instance, this shows the missions in Minas, which were under Jesuit jurisdiction and would have extended all the way from eastern Peru into the Rio Negro in what's now Brazil. And we're going through using both the texts and maps and things like that to georeference these locations for the missions for future research. But at each sort of layer, as we're going through, we're adding in different information, trying to link it to primary sources and other scholarly sources so that when we finally make this accessible to the public, it will sort of be multi-layered, multifaceted, so that the user can actually sort of take themselves through a journey through the history. Now, in addition to the texts and the maps and GIS, we're also looking at material culture, but the problem with material culture in the Amazon is that it's been spread all around in private and museum collections all over the world. So one of the problems is sort of how do you access this, as it would be really expensive to sort of bring it all together. And so we're looking at 3D scanning or 3D imaging to deal with this process. And sort of through this, you can also see connections to other parts of the Amazon that might not necessarily have been thought of as the Amazon in the past. So for instance, this figure on the right was a Moche figure from the north coast of Peru, but through the jaguar iconography on the headdress, you can actually see that this area that would have been considered separate from the Amazon was actually quite related ritually and in many other ways as well. We're also finding, as we've been going through this archive, that there are actually some really incredible discoveries that Amazonian peoples have made over time. So for instance, this object is called a tuntui, and it's fashioned out of a hollowed out log. And then basically Amazonian peoples would have used it kind of similar to the way we used to use Morse code, I guess, and they would place these at intervals to convey information over long distances. Colonial texts written by Europeans actually advocate adopting the system to use against pirate attacks on the coast of Europe. But the problem with the archive that we keep running into is that in the Amazon and this tropical environment, it's really difficult to preserve these materials. And this is the result not only of human agency, but of the environment itself. So you have massive flooding, a lot of rain, the tropical humidity, as well as the acidity in the soil. And so a lot of these materials don't survive over time. And so kind of what we're coming to a realization about was that in the Amazon, the forest itself is the best archive in many cases of that we have. And this is true about the ecology, but this is also true through human agency, because the Amazon was not always a pristine wilderness, but was actually should be thought of more as a cultivated landscape that has been sort of altered through human agency over millennia. And so through these alterations, through managing the forest, through agroforestry, Amazonian peoples were sustaining, in many cases, large populations, especially along the main course of the river, using different ecological niches, such as you see right there. But we're also creating things like called terras pretas, or black earth soils, which are incredibly productive. And some soil scientists estimate that if adopted today, this technology could actually sink the same amount of carbon that's put up in all pollution around the world and sink it each year into the environment. So adopting these sort of ancient technologies could actually help provide everyone with a more sustainable future. So then we come across the main problem in the Amazon, right, which is deforestation. And it's bad enough that it's ecologically destructive, but it's also, through these new discoveries, akin to the burning of a forest, of a library or of a temple, right? This is, in many cases, the best archive that we have left of the agency of Amazonian people. And so we wanted to look for ways in the Selva Nueva project to sort of preserve this information and see if we could use it even to mitigate some of these problems. And so working with Cali Tattoo and 3D scanning, we've been going out, starting with preliminary scans, to go out and into sections of the Amazon and scan small regions at first, but eventually enlarge it to preserve this record, which is really unlike anything else in the world. But we don't just want to stop there. We're also want to blend sort of the two projects, so the Selva Nueva New Forest project with the actual archive, and at different levels embed information into the scan so that the user can sort of walk themselves through the history and make them kind of a participant in their own learning. And then this sort of brought us to another realization, which was that we felt that because of all this information, we had to take sort of a more activist approach. And so we turned to 3D printing, and we decided that if the Amazon is being deforested at a rate of 9 acres a minute, that's sort of a large rate that it's difficult for people to relate to. And so what we decided to do was take a small portion of the forest equal to 1/2000th of what's destroyed every minute and print it out as an exhibition to draw awareness to deforestation in the Amazon. But this could also be installed in public spaces such as public squares or even in cities to really sort of allow the public to interact and learn about the deforestation of the Amazon. But we also realized as we were going through this that if technology has been part of the problem over time, perhaps it can be part of the solution. So we've turned to bioprinting, and in the next coming months, we're looking at sort of rigging bioprinting with some of the materials that we've gathered at the sites of scans so that we can eventually have two 3D printers at the exhibition, one at the natural rate of regrowth and one at an accelerated rate of regrowth, so that people can both see how long it will take for the forest to regenerate naturally as a result of all this really harmful deforestation, but also the potentials for 3D printing to aid in preserving the Amazon so that in the future, rather than cutting down a tree, perhaps we can print out logs. Thank you.
I couldn't help thinking it'd be good if the Mayans could use Twitter, but anyway. Questions? Questions? Yes?
I guess I have more of a comment. I'm Chetan Baru from the San Diego Supercomputer Center. So for the last 5 or 6 years, we've had a project called Tropical Ecology Assessment and Monitoring Network that's actually funded by the Moore Foundation. And there are about 20 or so field stations across the forests, across the whole planet in the tropics. Three of them are in the Amazon. So we should definitely connect. And actually, talking about big data and new analytics, we just got a grant from HP for equipment and software. And one of the software we're using is one of these new generation database systems called Vertica. And actually, Meg Whitman is going to talk about our project at the HP event in a couple of weeks from now. So I think this is a great connection on campus that we could have.
That's why we're here.